to that criminal that was dying next to the Lord Jesus, who confessed Christ before men, Jesus said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." And most often, our reflections on this saying of Christ focuses on the wonder of saving grace that was extended to and experienced by that dying thief. And indeed, there are key gospel lessons to be learned. The thief that day learned the truth of Heidelberg number one, for his comfort in the little life that he had left and in his impending death, was that now he belonged to Jesus and that he would soon experience that Pauline declaration that to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. That very day, his being in the company of Jesus would be uninterrupted, a bit more in the throes of death, but forever in the bliss of paradise. The Roman authorities intended Christ's presence in the middle of those thieves to be a matter of shame. But for the thief, his presence with Christ was the path to glory. His confession of Christ was last minute. It was short-lived, but his testimony has endured the ages in the pages of Scripture. How great is grace! But in this meditation, I want to give attention to the Lord Jesus, for he was going to be in paradise that day as well. And as the lifeless body of Christ would be limp in the tomb, he was doing a work in heaven that guaranteed his resurrection, that guaranteed the salvation of his people. Between his death and his resurrection, in paradise, Christ was active for his people. And I want to meditate upon this from two very simple perspectives. I want us to think, first of all, of the picture of that paradise work and then the actual performance of that work by the Lord Jesus. We have an amazing picture of this paradise work in the Old Testament Scripture. On that Day of Atonement, that Day of Atonement that in so many ways was a drama of redemption, but that day was just a shadow of reality. There are things that we are to look at and that we are to learn from that Day of Atonement that points us directly to the work and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I say it was a great drama, and the scene of this drama was taking place at the tabernacle. You remember the structure of the tabernacle, that threefold structure, the outer court, which was open to the general population, and then the holy place that was open to the priests. And then between that holy place and the most holy place was that veil that separated the two. And inside the veil was the Ark of the Covenant, that manifest representation of the presence of God to his people. And the more you entered into the tabernacle, the greater the restrictions. And it was only on the Day of Atonement, that one day of the year, when the high priest with the blood of the sacrifice was able to enter into that dark place, that sober place, behind the veil in the very immediate presence of God. That's the scene. And the principal actor in this drama was Aaron, the high priest, who was a picture for us of the mediation that was necessary if man was going to have any approach into the presence of the Lord. Every day of life, as Aaron the high priest would walk around the camp of Israel, he was dressed in those royal robes, that splendid garment that testified to the royalty of that priesthood. But on this day, on this one day, the high priest would strip himself of all of those royal garments, of all of the splendid majesty of his day-by-day operations. And now, in the simplicity and in the humility of his linen undergarments, the high priest now would take the blood of that animal that was sacrificed and make his way inside the veil. Even the dress of the high priest is pointing us to the work of the Lord Jesus, who, having left glory, now in this work of humiliation, has made his way not only into humanity, but now the climax of that humanity work as he's dying upon the cross, that work of humiliation. But the activity of the high priest was the most significant point on that Day of Atonement. As he enters into that place behind the veil, in the immediate presence of God, he takes with him the blood of that slain goat, the evidence of the death, the evidence of the sacrifice. And he takes that blood behind the veil, and he sprinkles that blood upon the mercy seat, presenting that blood to the very God of heaven as an act of propitiation to satisfy the wrath of God against the sins of his people. And there, in this act of propitiation, I say, he presents the blood. This is behind the veil. This is in that place where only God is, in represented by the Ark of the Covenant. And there in that sober place, in that most holy place, the priest is doing that most important blood work as he presents the evidence of the sacrifice unto God. But then we have a great picture of acceptance. And I say, what a beautiful drama this is, of the whole work of Christ's redemption for his people. We have the humiliation of Christ, that who was the eternal Son of God as became man, and in the humiliation of that humanity, he suffers, he becomes obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, even the death of the cross. And I say, in this humiliation, the high priest now is picturing for us. He is prophesying for us in this drama, in this picture, what the Lord Jesus indeed himself was going to do. His entering into the veil, his entering behind that veil in the climax of that humiliation was a picture of the death. Entering behind the veil, a picture of the death, and then behind the veil as that work of propitiation was being offered upon the ark, on the mercy seat, the blood was being sprinkled. But then he exits. He comes out from that place behind the veil. And once he comes out of that place behind the veil, now once again he puts on the robes of his royalty. He puts on again all of the splendid garments. Oh, what a picture this is. God was painting a picture for us. And in this drama, he was teaching us, teaching them and us, as we look at the picture, what the Lord Jesus was going to do. I say to you that if the entering in of the high priest behind the veil represented the death of the Lord Jesus, then the exiting of the high priest became a picture of the resurrection. Coming back to life, coming back now as an evidence of the accepted, and here's the point, the accepted sacrifice. And now I say comes the resurrection, a work that was well done. Oh, I know there are ideas, and I've heard these stories myself over the years, that as the high priest entered into that place behind the veil, they put a rope on his leg to drag him out just in case he died in there. What nonsense. The Bible makes it clear that this was a picture of the gospel. The high priest did not enter there on his own virtue, on his own merit. There is no way a high priest ever died in that place behind the veil, because this was a picture of the gospel. This was a picture of the gospel. He's not going to go in there one year and he comes out okay. The next year he dies in there and they're going to drag him out. No, that would be a maybe gospel. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But no, there's no maybe in this gospel. The death of the Lord Jesus and the blood that he shed upon the cross of Christ worked. God was satisfied. God was satisfied with the blood, and then up from the grave he arose. That behind the veil work, the presentation and the evidence of the sacrifice that was made, God was pleased and God was satisfied. The propitiation. Oh, we just sang, there's power on the cross. Well, here's the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus to satisfy the wrath of God against the sins of his people. And with the acceptance of that sacrifice, I say the priest now comes out. He comes out as evidence of the accepted sacrifice. His entering in, I say, a picture of the death of Christ. His exiting, a picture of the resurrection of Christ. Now that's the picture. That's the picture the Lord gives to us. We can look at the picture and we can see the wonder and the beauty of it. But that was just the picture. This was just a shadow. Understand, please, that Leviticus does not determine what Christ did, but what Christ did determined what Leviticus pictured. It was a picture designed to point to that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It was just a shadow. It was just a shadow, imperfect as it was, because all shadows are obsolete and all shadows obscure the principal message. There's something nebulous about a shadow, but the shadow is to draw our attention to the reality. And as we look, as they looked to that high priest on the Day of Atonement, and now as we look to that narrative as well, it is to point us, look to what is casting that shadow. And the shadow, the reality that casts that shadow, is the work of the Lord Jesus. So that brings us, the picture points to the performance of this paradise work, if you will, of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what Hebrews says in chapter 9. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, and neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, it wasn't the goat blood that did anything except to point to this blood, and the Lord Jesus, with the evidence of his sacrifice, with the evidence of the death that he has just died, he enters into paradise. He enters into paradise and presents the evidence of that sacrifice unto the Lord. He entered in by his own blood. And on that day when the dying criminal next to Christ said, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. You're going to be there and I'm going to be there. And as Christ was there speaking to the thief, he was in essence telling the thief that this was the day when he would present the evidence of his sacrifice to the Father. He entered in. Christ entered in through that veil into the presence of God, presenting the evidence of his sacrifice. And God was pleased. And God was satisfied. God was propitiated with the death and the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Aaron pointed the way to paradise, but Christ paved the way to paradise. He did so for the dying thief. He paved the way to paradise, indeed, for all of his people. And I say that as this work was accepted, the evidence of the accepted work, the proof of this atonement that worked, that was accepted, was the fact that he was going to be raised from that grave. Oh, while he's in the paradise doing this work, his body, I say, is limp in the grave, but not too much longer. Not too much longer, he would be raised. He would be raised, and up from that grave he arose victorious. A work that was accepted. His body could not stay in that grave. It wasn't long after that in his person, now in spirit united to that resurrected body, Christ ascends back into paradise. He ascends back into paradise in that body in which he was born, in that body in which he died. That body that was so characterized by his humiliation, now an exalted and a glorified body, he enters in, he ascends into heaven, and he does so as our forerunner. He does so as our forerunner. And because Jesus again ascended into heaven and made his way to paradise, so will his people. So will his people. Christ told the dying thief today, "You'll be with me in paradise." And because of the success and the power of the sacrifice of Christ, Christ says to all of his people, "One day, someday, all of my people will be with me in paradise." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, how amazed we are at the wonder of the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. What love, what justice, what power was evident in that cross. And we're thankful, Lord, that what Christ did was not in vain, but as he offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people unto the Father was well pleased. And the Father was accepting of that sacrifice, not only for that dying thief, but for every believer of every generation, for all time. Every believer will be in paradise with Jesus because of the blood work. Receive our thanks and our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.